in Luke in chapter 5. I'm going to speak today a message that I think I'm going to call it, Don't Be Afraid, Jesus is Calling You. Don't be afraid, He is calling you. Yes? So in the book of Luke in chapter 5, it says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around Him and listening to the word of God. He saw the water's edge, two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. There is something about fear that God hates. Because I think that fear many times holds us back from God and what God has for us. And we see here a situation where Jesus comes and He's surrounded by a crowd, a multitude of people. And He comes and it's morning time. It's about right around breakfast, like today we had breakfast together. It's about that time of the day. And we see that He's going towards the shore. And I can only imagine the whole scene. Maybe you can imagine it together with me today. I can see Jesus with the crowd. I can see Peter and Andrew, his brother, in one boat. And maybe some other people that were helping them. And in the other boat, we can see James and John, brothers. They were also fishermen. And they probably had other people with them. Maybe their father, because they were working with their father there as fishermen. And they were working, cleaning their nets. They didn't catch anything. And usually you're supposed to catch fish during nighttime. They didn't catch anything during that time. So it is morning and they're done, but God was not done with them. And I think that many times in life, we go through times when we feel, I'm done. I'm done. I'm at the end. I don't know if I can make it another day. I don't know if I can handle the pressure another hour. I don't know what I'm going to do next, but I feel like I'm done. I don't know about you, but there was some instances in my life when I felt like I was done, but He's never done. And the one who began a good work in us will bring it to its fruition. He will complete that work. He will finish that work, even when you feel like you can't do it. Some trust in chariots, some trust in the power of horses, but we will trust in our Lord and our God. Amen. When you feel like you're at the end of your abilities, your skills, your wisdom, your strength, He is never at the end of anything because His power is always there for us. His wisdom is always there for us. His grace is enough. Sometimes before I come to the States, I think about all of the places where we're going, all of the churches, all of the planes, all of the traveling, and I feel overwhelmed. Do you ever have like something coming, maybe an event, a holiday, something, and you feel like, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do so many things. And then it's like, wow, it's so much. I don't know how I'm going to handle all of this. And the Lord told me this secret. Can I share a secret with you? He said, don't worry about tomorrow. I know this is very complicated. It's a very deep secret today that I share with you. But He said, don't worry about tomorrow. And then He said that His mercies are new every day. Every day. So today, we're going to rely on His mercies and His grace for today. Tomorrow morning, when you wake up, and there are things that you need to take care of, and things that you need to do, tomorrow morning, there is a new grace available for you. There are new mercies that God has for you. You don't have to eat the yesterday manna. You can have something fresh in God every single day. These guys, they were the whole night. And probably being men, they were hungry. And sometimes men, when they're hungry, they're not the easiest crowd around. But, okay, they were hungry. They were hungry. They were tired. They were disappointed. Maybe they were frustrated. Maybe with each other. Sometimes we get frustrated with ourselves. Sometimes with the people around us. Especially when we feel like we didn't finish what we had to finish. We're not there yet. And It was morning. Jesus comes and they see, and I'm sure they heard the noise of the crowd. They see a crowd approaching. And it's coming closer and it's coming closer and it's not going further away from them. It's coming closer to where they are. So they were tired and now there's a crowd of people. Were you ever tired and then you had to minister or help a crowd of people and take care of different needs around you? As women, many times you will be in that place. You will be in a place where it is required of you to stretch your faith a little bit more and know that you will not break. Amen? You will not break. Don't let the enemy tell you that you'll have a breakdown. Don't let the enemy tell you that you cannot handle this anymore, because his grace is sufficient and his power is made perfect in our weakness. His power is not made perfect in our strength. His power is made perfect in our weaknesses. That's why Paul said, when I am weak, I am strong. That's something that doesn't sound right to our natural minds. But it is because then the power of Christ comes in us. And his power is stronger than our power. His weakness, in fact, is stronger than our power and our strength. And they see a crowd coming. And they see Jesus coming. And he comes towards them. And I like this about Jesus, that he's not asking for permission. He just steps into their boat. He steps into their environment, their situation. He steps into the place where they were at that very moment. He gets in the boat and then he tells Peter, you can see the whole story here with me, but he tells Peter, can you take this boat a little bit further from the shore? And Peter could have said no. He could have said, I'm tired. He could have said, I don't want to do this. You know, serving people is only going to get us closer to the destiny that God has for us. Whenever you serve the Lord, whenever you serve people, whenever you serve the church, whenever you serve your community, even in the times when you are tired, maybe even more than, you're only going to get closer to what God has for you. Because you'll see him there. You'll not see him on the shore where it's safe, where people are just resting, waiting to hear, listening. You'll see him in the place of trouble. You'll see him in the place where it's not easy. And God wants us to be available to serve. He wants us to be available to go beyond the limit of where we've been until now. Jesus starts teaching, and we don't know how long he taught for. We have no idea. But when he finishes, he says this, when he had finished, verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. More work. More work. First, I have to move the boat a little bit. And now I have to go to deeper waters. Did you ever feel like God was calling you to deeper waters? That even as we are singing today this wonderful, beautiful song about the love of the Father, he's calling us deeper still. Go, come deeper. And it's not deeper only in the presence of God, but I think that sometimes it's deeper in our lives, inside of us, to places that we haven't opened yet, to things that we have not done yet, to do more for the kingdom of God. He's calling us to go deeper. And he says, and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets, because you say so. And it's so important for us in the middle of every single situation to go to Jesus and say, okay, what are you saying now, Lord? Because when you say something, when you speak something to me, when you have a solution for my problem, I know that it's going to work, even though it will require something from me. It is never going to be like God doing everything. He's going to always require something from us. He will do 99% of the whole thing, and we'll do the 1%, even though we might feel like we're doing the 99%, and He's only doing the 1%, but actually we're just doing the 1%. Who are these people? Who are Simon? Who is Andrew? Who is James? They are ordinary people. They are fishermen. At this point, they are not the great heroes of Christianity. At this point, they were just fishermen. They had their regular jobs. They had their lives. They had their disappointments. They had their situations, their families. They were just like us. And here is the beautiful thing that God calls us, not because we are perfect, not because we look good on Saturday morning. Actually, this morning, Miss Lavana saw that I was not looking really good when I woke up. But it's, thank you. But I'm going to say that He doesn't call us because of something related to our skills, abilities, appearance. He calls us because He loves us. And He has a plan and a destiny. And I mean, He calls us when we are in the deepest mess, when we didn't know Him, we are in the darkest place. We are in the kingdom of the devil, the enemy. And still He loved us and still He called us then. How much more now, when we are His daughters, washed by the blood of Jesus, made pure and righteous because of His sacrifice on the cross. How much more He loves us. And He wants the best for us, the best for our families, the best for our future. He has our back. He's not here to hurt us. He's here to help us and love us. And even though at times we might feel like we don't know exactly what's happening, what's going on, He knows what's going on. And He knows our future, and it's a good future. Say that with me. It's a good future. He has a good future for us, for our families, for your children's children. He has a good future. He has good spouses for them. Amen? Good spouses. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sing, "Help, help, help." Yes? It's good to work together. It's good to have people around you. Amen? Christianity is not a life of loneliness. I know it's hard to trust. I know it's hard to trust people, but Jesus didn't call us. God has not called us to be lonely riders. He didn't call us to be people that live somewhere on this mountain and that mountain. He called us the body of Christ. Your body is not detached. It's not one hand there and the leg there. It's together in unity. It works together. It functions better when it is together. And it's important to ask for help when you need help. That means that we have to humble ourselves. And that's a good thing. Amen? That's a good thing for us. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." Jesus could have taken offense now with Peter. He could have said, "You're rejecting me. You don't want my help. You don't understand how much I love you. You don't understand that I'm here for you." Many times when people act towards us in a way that says rejection, it's important for us to not take it as rejection or as offense, because there's something behind it. And I'm going to show you today what it is. When people put up walls, it's not because they have something against you. It's not because they have something against God or against their lives. There is, beyond all of those walls, something that Jesus saw. Because Peter says something and Jesus responds in a way that almost doesn't make sense, because it's not related to what Peter is saying. Peter said, "Go away, Lord." And Jesus responds, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll fish for people." He says, "Go away, I'm a sinful person." Jesus says, don't be afraid. He was afraid for different reasons. Maybe he saw how he was, and maybe he saw his limitations, his sins, his struggles. He saw the miracle and he realized this is God. This is something that I'm not familiar with. This is something that I'm not equipped to do. This is something that I'm not ready. I cannot handle this. And he rejects God. He rejects Jesus, but it is because of fear. And I believe that many times in our lives, there is a fear that is holding us back from what God has for us. You remember the story of the blind man Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. This was a man that was begging outside of the town of Jericho. Imagine it was Camden. So outside of Camden, there is a man begging. Everybody knew there was a man there that was begging. He was wearing his beggar's clothes, and he was begging there. And he heard a noise. He was not able to see what was happening around him, but he heard the noise again of a crowd of people. And he was asking people around him, what's going on? What's happening right now? And they say, well, is Jesus coming? And he starts screaming. He starts shouting, Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't have his sight, but he has not lost his voice yet. There might be limitations in your life. There might be struggles in your life, but there is something that you still have. There is something that you still have. And when you use what you have for God, he will take that and he will release his power and his strength over your limitations. The woman with the alabaster box, she didn't have a perfect life. In fact, we were taught that she was a big-time sinner, that everybody knew who she was. She wasn't the woman that you'd invite at your women meeting in the church service to preach. Maybe not yet. But we see that woman coming to Jesus, and she brought that alabaster box, what she had. There was something that she could sacrifice, that she could give to Jesus. And he took that and dealt with what she couldn't deal with. She couldn't deal with her sins. She couldn't deal with her struggles. She couldn't deal with her limitations. But when she gave to Jesus what she had, he took care of what she couldn't take care of. And this is what Peter does here. He comes and he says, Lord, I'm a sinful person. And Jesus says, I'll deal with the fear that is holding you back, Peter. I'll deal with the sins in your life. I'll take care of your struggles. And I'm going to release my grace and my power so that you can do the work that I called you to do. Bartimaeus, he started shouting. And the people around him said, don't shout. Stop. You're not supposed to disturb this meeting. This is a private meeting. And you're not part of this private meeting. It's just something. It's just us, this group. And we don't want you to be part of this. And Jesus is busy with something else right now. He's going another direction. Why are you trying to disturb him? And Bartimaeus, he started shouting even more. We can use people as our excuse to draw away from God, or we can push around the situation, the circumstances, and go towards Jesus. Like the woman with the issue of blood. She was not supposed to be part of that crowd. She was not supposed to be around people because of her sickness, according to the law of Moses. But she still didn't allow the crowd to stop her from going closer and closer to Jesus. Do you know what many times people do when they struggle? They will run away. Do you know what people do when they deal with sin in their life? They will run away. It's like if you had a sickness, you want to go to the doctor. Yes, natural thing. You want to go to the doctor. You don't want to go somewhere where you cannot find help. And it's the same with our spiritual lives. It's the same with the matters of our soul, of our emotions, our hearts. We cannot run away from the doctor that can heal us. We need to go towards him. We need to try, we need to go and do everything that we can. It's in our powers to go and find him and say, heal me now, Jesus. Heal me now, Lord. Touch my sickness. I trust you to be my doctor, to be my physician. I'm putting all of my faith in your skills. That's what you do when you go to the doctor. If you go to the surgeon, you put all of your trust that that man knows what he's doing. But there is a bigger man. And a better man, and his name is Jesus. And we can put all of our trust in him. His skills, he's been here from the beginning and before the beginning. He was here before you were born. He knows you. He knows you so well. He knows how to fix everything in your life. And he knows, you know, like a mechanic and a car, and when the engine breaks, you don't want to try and fix it unless you know what you're doing. He knows what he's doing. Your car will go well, even better than before. When Jesus fixes something, it will always be better than before. It will always be better than before. Your marriage will always be better than before. Your ministry will always be better than before. It will not go in the survival mode. Many times as Christians, we are like kind of in survival mode. God hates that. He doesn't want us to be survivors. He wants us to be overcomers. Those who have overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the power of their testimony, yes? And they did not love their lives even unto death. We have to press towards Jesus. We have to find him. Bartimaeus didn't allow the crowd to stop him. Family, yes, they can do things sometimes that will get on your nerve. Kids can do the same thing. Spouses can do the same thing. Church people can do the same thing. But still, we do not look at that as excuses to draw away from Jesus, but as opportunities. This is my time to come closer to you, because there is something in me that was exposed right now by the things that they did or said. This thing in me was always there. You know that Jesus said that Satan himself is coming towards me, he said, but he has nothing in me. Unfortunately, there are things in our lives that when people do something or the enemy comes, they can touch that place. But Jesus wants to remove the hand that hurt you and put his hand to come and heal where it was hurting before in your life. He wants to repair everything that was broken in your life. Bartimaeus, they said, okay, he's calling you. This is what Jesus said. Go and call him. Do you know what they said to Bartimaeus at that point? He said, don't be afraid. He's calling you. Don't be afraid. He's calling you. And he does something that's so unexpected and so powerful. He says that he put down his cloak, because it was a beggar's cloak and it was really slowing him down. It was his moment, and he wanted to run to Jesus. When your moment comes, put down your past. Put down everything that was holding you back. There are things that were trying to stop you, to hold you back, and you just need to let go of them. You need to say, okay, this was my beggar's cloak. I'm not going to be begging anymore. We're not begging God for his love. We're not begging God for his provision. We're not begging God for his health. We're trusting in him that he has already paid the price for everything that we need in life. Everything that we need in life. And I want to encourage you today, go towards him. Let go of everything that was holding you back and also that was slowing you down. He goes towards Jesus, and Jesus, of course, says, what do you want me to do for you? I have no idea how this man ran towards Jesus because he was blind. How did he find Jesus? I think that Jesus found him. I think that the Bible says that when we take one step towards God, he takes 1,000 steps towards us. So when Bartimaeus made the first step running, I think that Jesus started running too. I think that the prodigal son started walking towards the father. It's like in recovery, or when you go towards healing and when you want to get out of any type of mess or any type of struggle or sin, you made the first step and it's almost like you're shaking a little bit and you're very insecure and don't know exactly how to walk. But the father will always come running towards his daughter. He will always come running towards you. And he will come and give you a big hug. And he will not even allow you to say those stupid things that you wanted to say, like the prodigal son. He said, I'm not even worthy to be called your son. I can see that, you know. That was a lie. That was deception. And the father wanted to remove every single lie from his son's heart and mind. And he wants to come and deal with every lie that we ever believed or took in our hearts. He wants to tell us, I love you. I love you and my love is perfect towards you. I love your family. I'm here for you. I'm going to help you. But what if we fail? What even after we received Jesus' love? Even after we received his embrace, we still fail and we make a mess around us. I started saying something about Simon Peter. At the end, after Jesus was resurrected, he appeared a few times to his disciples. This is the third time that he appears to them. His friend, Simon Peter, had just betrayed him 3 times. He denied that he ever knew Jesus. The guy that provided the fish embraced him and said, "Don't be afraid." And he's probably disappointed, frustrated, a broken person. And it's in the book of John, in chapter 21. It says that at this point, there's about 7 of the disciples together. And Simon says, "I'm going to go fishing." The enemy will try many times in our lives when we fail, when we make mistakes, even when we sin, to make us go to former patterns and former ways of doing things. If before in a relationship when you are hurt, you'd run, what do you think will happen again that the enemy will try to do, even as a Christian? He'll try to make you run. If you withdraw as a person, he will try to make you withdraw. If you rebel or get violent, he will make you do the same thing. If you start blaming, if you used to blame everybody before you knew the Lord, when you make a mistake, when you fail, the same pattern will start showing up. This was a time when Jesus was going to deal with the patterns in Peter's life that could hold him back from his destiny. And there are patterns in our lives that God wants to come and say, "I'm going to show you how to break out of that pattern. You're not going to go back down on that path anymore." When we fail, when we go through a time of struggle, when maybe somebody around us failed us, maybe somebody around us disappointed us, there is something that I call a path that we can start walking on. Can be a path towards destruction. And each one of us, we need to find our own path. To think, okay, well, how do I deal with pressure? Let's say it's pressure or stress. What do you do wrong? I know that most of you will do it right, but what do you do wrong under pressure? Where do you go to? What's the path that you start walking on when you feel the pressure? Because Peter went fishing, and he trusted, probably he was thinking, maybe I can at least do this right. Well, even that didn't work. And Peter was mourning. It was mourning, and he didn't catch anything, like no fish, nothing. And there's seven guys there. So I'm thinking that he's again at that point where he was when Jesus first called him. And we see that Jesus is on the shore and he says, children. He addresses this adult man as children. He says, children, do you know that we will always be his sons and daughters. And he will always love us with the perfect love of a father. He says, children, have you caught anything? And I said, no. So we can throw your net on the right side. You know, sometimes we don't know exactly where is that right side where we can find the solution, what we're supposed to do. But he knows. Imagine that you're in a boat, yes? Imagine that you're in a boat. Which one is your right side? Because maybe you're facing this way, or maybe you're facing that way. Your right could be my left. Who is going to make the decision? Where is the right side? There is Peter, there is John, there are so many of them there. Which one is the right side of the boat? Well, the best option will be to look where Jesus is standing. And to say, okay, I'm going to throw my net on his right side. Because his side is always right. His side is always the right side. His solution, his wisdom, his principles in the Word of God, even if they don't make sense in your troubled time, even if you don't want to do it, even if you feel like you don't like it, but his side will always be the right side, and it is always going to work. And of course, they catch fish. And then John says, it is the Lord. Peter runs towards the seashore. He gets there, and I love this. I believe that God is our best counselor. Because there he is, Jesus, on the shore, and he has already the fire, and there's already fish on the fire, and there's already bread for them. He's not going to have a chit-chat with you when you're hungry. You know, sometimes we like to talk to people when we're hungry. Did you ever try to talk to your husband when he was hungry? Or when you're hungry about different... It's better to eat first. It's always better. That's why I enjoyed breakfast this morning. It's always better to eat first. So he has the fire. He has the bread. He's not going to have the conversation with Peter before Peter eats. Because it's going to be something very special. And do you know how we are? We think that God is going to give us such a hard time about what we did, that he's going to rebuke us and make us go around the church building for 100 times, and you better be on your knees while you're doing it. He has the fish. He has the bread. And he's ready. He made that for them. I wonder how he caught that fish. Did he ask the fish, please jump on the fire? I have no idea. But he has breakfast ready. And they come and they eat. And nobody, none of them ask, who are you? They all know it's Jesus. It is the Lord. And after they eat, then Jesus looks at Peter and says, Simon, do you love me? You know, Jesus, he doesn't say, Peter, you betrayed me 3 times. Peter, you were mean towards John. Peter, you committed adultery. Peter, you are so bad. I'm not encouraging any of us to do any of those things. But if any of you ever did it, if any of you ever know somebody that has done any of these things or worse in life, it's not a time when that person is coming towards the Lord to point their sins and their failures. It is the time to remind them how much they love Jesus. Because when love is stirred up within you, you will see those things how they are. And you'll want to have nothing to do with those things in your life anymore. Because His love is so precious. His love is so strong. His love is so wonderful that when you get in touch with His love, something will happen with you. All that I want is for people in our church to meet Jesus and to get in touch with His love and let Jesus minister to them. Let the love of Christ restore them. Let them be filled with His love. There is never enough of the love of Jesus. You can always have more of His love. We need more of the love of the Father. We need more. We need to go deep in the waters of His love. And we see that in that situation, Jesus just asked Him, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know that I love you." Yes, they are using different words for love. Jesus is saying, "Do you agape me? Do you love me with a sacrificial love?" And He's like, "I love you as a brother. I'm not at the point right now to say I love you until death, even though I thought that I was there." Many times we think that we are there, and then we realize I'm not there yet. But there still is something in me. I still have something that I can give to my God. I still have some type of love. Maybe today is not perfect, but there is still something in me that He can use. And He will use anything. He will use everything. He will use that small little bit of love that you feel that you have in your heart for Him. And He will take it. He will say, "Just give it to me. I'll take that. It will be good enough for me. It's plenty. I'm going to take that and I'm going to give you so much more." And then He says again, for every single time when Peter betrayed Him, He allowed love to come and cover the multitude of sins. He allowed love to come and wash over his sins, over his past, over his failures. He allowed love to come and restore him. And then He says, every single time, "Do you love me?" He says, "I love you." He says, "Go and feed my sheep. Go and feed my little lambs." He didn't say, "You're not worthy." He didn't say, "You're good for nothing." He didn't say, "You do not deserve it." He said, how do you dare to go and minister now to people? You have to go through a process of few years of waiting and waiting until you're ready. His love makes you ready. His calling makes you ready. His blood makes you ready. It's not our good works. It's not our perfection. It's not our skills or our abilities. It is His calling. It is His blood. It is His love. It is His righteousness alone that says, "We are ready. I'm ready to do what He called me to do with the same love, Peter, that I have shown you. Go now and feed my sheep. Go now and take care of my little lambs." Your destiny and your calling is still standing. I believe that today He wants to tell you, "Don't be afraid. I'm calling you. Come as you are and come closer, come deeper, and let my love wash over you, and let my love fill you so much that you'll be a vessel of my grace and love to broken people around you wherever they are." Amen. Amen.